Hello! Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com. And how about this week? Let's get down to some embedded design business, shall we? Yep, we're checking out the newest in component security and the wonders of near-field communications. So, if we don't want to be here just shy of forever, let's get started. All right. Pop quiz time. What is NFC? I'm hearing some rumblings out there. It's kind of like RFID, right? Well, not quite. It doesn't take much power, so you can sometimes run it from energy harvesting, can't you? Well, yes, that is true. It's a new kind of chicken from Nebraska. No, and that's not true at all, and you over there that asked that, well, we need to talk. Well, you're in luck, because this week my first guest is none other than Greg Prohl of ST Microelectronics. So let's sit down with Greg and talk a whole lot about NFC and a little bit about golf. My guest today is Greg Prohl, Senior Product Marketing Engineer, RF Memory Americas at ST Microelectronics. Thank you so much for joining me today, Greg.
Thanks for having me here.
So I've been hearing a lot about ST Microelectronics and near-field communications these days. What are you guys doing in this space?
Well, as you know, with NFC, we have a pretty broad portfolio of NFC products, from NFC tags all the way up to full mobile NFC controllers. In this space, we have a very unique product that enables very simple NFC connectivity, and that product also has an energy harvesting function.
Energy harvesting. Heck yes, that's a topic I'm really interested about. Tell me more.
Well, with this product, the energy harvesting function is basically a piece of hardware IP that we have that inside an RFID tag, when the emitter gives that product energy, mm-hmm. and it uses that energy to wake up, we harvest whatever energy was left over that the tag didn't use, and we put that on an unregulated voltage output pin on the product. So now you can build a little sub-autonomous power system to help you configure devices on the fly or in a box.
So, Greg, tell me a little bit more. What kind of end applications are you seeing?
Well, you can think of this product like a block of memory or like an RFID tag that you can read and write to with a cell phone or a RFID reader-writer. And that same block of memory can be accessed via an I2C connection.
Okay.
So now you can configure things or connect to things, and those things can change the memory parameters to change your system without any added software, because your cell phone looks at it like an NFC tag, mm-hmm. but your system looks at it like any piece of I2C memory.
Right. Okay, cool. So I also heard that you've got a cool kit that utilizes this technology. And actually, I think I might be giving away one in a couple minutes. Tell me more about it.
Yeah, the kit's called the M24LR Discovery Kit.
Uh-huh.
That kit is a kit that includes an emitter that you can connect to your PC. And it also includes a little board that has a M24LR on it. And that whole board is powered by that product. So
cool.
It has a low-power microcontroller and a liquid crystal display. And you can read and write to that through the emitter that you get with the kit.
Mm-hmm.
The kit's available online at Distribution or Element 14.
Okay.
You can also interact with that kit through a NFC-enabled Android cell phone. And you
Sweet.
Can go to Google Play. You can get our NFC V Reader app and download it, install it, and interact with the little discovery kit with a mobile device.
That is super cool. I love it. All right, Greg, how about an off-the-cuff question? I hear you're a bit of a golfer. Where's your favorite place around Chicago to go golfing?
In Chicago, there's a couple different golf courses I like. Favorite municipality course is here in Schaumburg, where our office is. It's Schaumburg Golf Club. It's a very challenging but public course.
Nice.
Private courses, there's one way up in the northwest suburbs called Bull Valley Country Club.
That's very,
very nice. I think it actually made the Golf Digest top 25. So
it's,
for Illinois, when you can only golf a few months a year,
right.
It's very special to have a top 25. 25 places.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. If you're ever around Portland, I'll show you a couple really good ones.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that would be great.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today, Greg. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks. It was great. Thanks.
Hey, and if you want to know even more about NFC, I've got a brand new Chalk Talk just launched earlier this week that gives the whole rundown on exactly how you can utilize near field communications in your next design. Check out the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page entitled Enabling New Applications with NFC Connectivity and Energy Harvesting. Yes. You should go watch it. Heck, it's fun and you will learn a whole lot. Especially you, that guy who thought NFC was a new kind of fried chicken. Okay, folks, the next stop on our embedded design train is security. But security is a big place, right? It's got all sorts of dark alleys, creepy corners, and shady characters. So let's narrow it down to security algorithms and the authentication of components. Heck yes, I want to know that the design I'm creating has the right parts from the right companies, and yes, they actually work. Let's sit down with Alex Dean of Atmel and talk about elliptic curve cryptography, the most recent changes in security standards from the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and Atmel's crypto authentication portfolio, which includes an ATE CC108 solution with elliptical curve asymmetric key algorithm. Yeah, get those geek goggles on, ladies and gentlemen, we're going in. Oh, and don't worry, if you don't know exactly what elliptical curve cryptography is or what the heck the difference is between symmetric and asymmetric key algorithms is, we'll explain. Welcome to Fish Fry, Alex. Thank you so much for joining me today. Okay, so we're here to talk about security today. Do tell me, what's the difference between symmetric and asymmetric algorithms for security?
Very good question, Amelia. The main difference between symmetric versus asymmetric key algorithm is, in the case of symmetric algorithm, both the host and the client, they have to share the same secret. For example, if you have a printer, that is the host, and then you got cartridge, that's the client of the application, then the printer and the cartridge, they both have to share the same secret. On the other hand, with an asymmetric key algorithm, the host and the client, they don't have to share the same secret. In fact, on the host side, you will be accommodating only a public key, and which can be easily retrofitted to the system through a software upgrade. Now, the only part that has to be protected is the client, which is holding the private key. And that's where a product like ATECC108 can really help you. ECC108 is built from the ground up to protect this private key. For example, if you are building a medical equipment, then the public key will be on the host side. And then the private key will be on a accessory like, for example, a catheter. And you will put ATECC108 in this catheter, which will protect your private key.
All right, I think I understand. So, Alex, in a similar vein, tell me what the key differentiators are for your new ATECC108 solutions.
Excellent question. Yeah. First of all, it's very easy to use since there's no hardware modification needed on the host side, as I mentioned earlier. All you need to do is to implement a simple software upgrade to implement your public key. That means you can keep the modification to the host to a very minimal. And this convenience is very important, especially if you are building equipment that is subject to regulatory approval. By eliminating the need to modify the host hardware, very often you can avoid that recertification and may just shave off years of effort from your entire schedule. And the second differentiating factor for this product is asymmetric key allow components built by different vendors to work together, and yet they don't even have to share the same secret. For example, the host can be built by company A, and the client could be built by company B. Now, in the case of a symmetric key algorithm, company A and company B have to share the same secret, which is a challenge to implement. However, if an asymmetric key product like ATECC10A is used, since they don't have to share the same secret, they will be able to easily interoperate as well as authenticating each other. For example, there are many smartphones out there that would authenticate which accessory they want to work with. But the smartphone and the accessories are often built by different companies. And the asymmetric key product like ATECC10A will work very well in this case for products from two different companies to work together.
Okay, that totally makes sense. So, Alex, let's circle back and talk more about the applications where this new security solution is going to be used in.
Excellent question again. A good example will be for medical equipment. For example, if you have a piece of equipment that's using catheter as an accessory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since ATECC10A allows you to avoid changing the hardware on the host side, and in fact, you can just simply upgrade the hardware security through a simple software modification to add that public key, that means often you do not have to go back to FDA to get the recertification for the hardware. And on the accessory side, since the change is also minimal and is basically a turnkey solution offered by ATECC10A, the regulatory agency often will also treat that as an administrative change as well. As a result, ATECC10A is a perfect solution for medical equipment. In addition to medical equipment, this product is also ideal for consumables built by different companies in a similar relationship like a piece of medical equipment try to authenticate a accessory like a catheter. For example, if you're building a refrigerator as the host and you want to authenticate a water filter as a client and the refrigerator and the water filters are built by different companies, then ATECC10A can help to bridge the two products made by two different companies together.
Okay, great. So, Alex, when is this new solution going to be available?
It will be launched June 24th.
I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Alex. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Likewise. Thank you for your time as well.
And remember, if you haven't already, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/EEJournal. Check out our tweets at EEJournalTFM and join our circle on Google+. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fry page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com. Or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of June 28th, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.